So we'll open up some scriptures now. Open up to Acts chapter 2. We don't know this chapter very well, so I thought I'd read a couple of verses in this. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. So the title of this talk is Repentance, actually. A little while ago I gave a talk on repentance. I thought it was about time. Gave another talk on repentance. So Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. Acts chapter 2, verse 37, it says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." So we heard two fantastic testimonies there of people being baptized by full immersion. They received the gift of the Holy Ghost and they spoke in tongues, but they also repented. So the three elements here, repentance, baptism, and receiving the Holy Spirit. So repentance is so important, such an important aspect before the Lord. And so if we go to baptism, we just get baptized by full immersion once. It says elsewhere in the scriptures that you don't need to get baptized again because it's like putting Jesus on the cross again, and we don't do that. His first sacrifice was sufficient. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive that once and it stays with us. We don't have to receive it again and pray for it again and again and again. It's always with us and we carry it around with us. With repentance, though, it's a continual thing. Throughout our lives, we go through stages of repentance where we realise, oops, a-daisy, I did that wrong. Look back to the Lord. Focus back to the Lord. Turn back to the Lord. That amazing repentance at the start, realizing that realization that, yes, what these people are telling me is true, realizing that, yes, there is potentially a God that lives. You know, you didn't have the Spirit, but it's, you know, they tell you about all this stuff. And so you repent, you realize that you cannot achieve righteousness in your own strength. So you repent with that, get baptized by full immersion, and then seek for the Holy Spirit. And then God graciously gives us that Holy Spirit, and then we know that we are the children of the living God, and that He has called us His own dear children, and He is our Father. And then from there, we just continue to put Him number one. But this repentance aspect, bring out some more scriptures. Acts chapter 3, just next chapter. This here is when, just after this miracle of Peter and John with the man at the gate beautiful asking for alms. I often think he didn't need arms, he needed legs. But anyway, he was healed and he walked and he was praising God. Peter and John were taken up to before the court and they were just talking about the Lord and how they crucified Jesus. But then we get down to verse 19 and it says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." So Peter here is adjuring these people crucified Jesus Christ, saying, "Look, okay, you did that thing, and it was the Lord's will, yes, but from your heart it was a bad thing. So therefore, repent, turn away, repent therefore, and be converted." Allow yourself to be converted, to become a whole new man, that your sins may be blotted out. See, this is what Peter obviously had this incredible revelation, you know, that's why he responded to that question in Acts 2, verse 38, about repentance and how important it was. It was the beginning that repentance led to conversion, which then led to your sins being blotted out, you being perfect before God. And you have leading a whole new life, a whole new perspective. And then you're opened up to these times of refreshing. See, I like that renewal. Our life, we lead our life, we get older and older and older, deteriorate with time. But through the Holy Spirit, we are refreshed. That builds, that gets stronger and stronger with time. And so there's that refreshing that we're opened up to. And What I like as well in verse 21, it says Jesus Christ, whom heaven must receive. So Jesus was received into heaven and he's there now. He's sitting on the right hand of God, alive. That's why his sacrifice 2,000 years ago is still applicable. Until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So until the times are fulfilled here on earth, that's when Jesus will come back. And the Bible talks about Jesus coming back. So until Jesus coming back, there is this time of repentance that's required, that we may have this refreshing, continual refreshing before the Lord. Over to Luke chapter 15. And there's three stories here. One about a person losing a sheep. Another one about a woman losing a piece of silver. And then there's the prodigal son. The son that was prodigious in his spending. But we'll read the one in verse 8. Luke chapter 15 and verse 8. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbours together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Okay, this is the power of repentance. The angels that are in the presence of God, there is joy. You know, you can imagine them. They're just singing with joy. Praise the Lord. There's a sinner that has repented. There's a sinner that's realized his ways and decided to change them and follow God's ways. This amazing thing, this repentance, creates an amazing joy in heaven before God. And that's what we also see that. Like we when people repent from their ways and start to follow God, there is great joy in us as well. Yes, come to the fold. It's brilliant. You know, let's tell everyone about it. Oh, someone got baptized. They received the Holy Spirit. Let's blazon it abroad. It's just fantastic to know, to advertise that. But it's also in heaven. The spirits that are attending unto God, there is great joy when a sinner repents. Over to 1 Kings chapter 21. 1 Kings chapter 21. So if it brings great joy to God and his angels, his servants, you know, it's a good thing, repentance. And if it brings him joy, then he'll hearken unto it. 1 Kings chapter 21. 1 Kings chapter 21. This is story of Ahab. Ahab, when I think of the kings of Israel, the northern tribes of Israel, is one of the worst. He is paraded as being one of the worst kings that rejected God and followed his idolatry and all those things. His wife Jezebel was a horror, and Ahab just rejected God in most ways. He had a very powerful army at this stage with him, so he relied on the flesh a lot and rejected God. So we read in 1 Kings chapter 21, yes, chapter 21 and verse 25. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. So there you go. And he did very abominably in following idols, according to all things as did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard those words, that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly, or delicately, quietly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. So there you go, like just this act of repentance and humility before the judgment of God turned the wrath of God away from this evil man. And it says in chapter 22 further down, his son Amon, he refused to repent. like his father did. So that's why the wrath came upon him, his son's days. But the wrath was delayed as a result of Ahab's repentance. So even though he had all these years of horrible things he did, he even killed that bloke Naboth, you know, in cold blood because he wanted the vineyard. And he did these horrible things. He treated Elijah badly. He built all these altars and groves and so forth to sacrifice to Baal, these abominations of the Amorites. Even though he did all that evil, his repentance still created joy in heaven, so that the wrath of God was bypassed and went to his son instead. If his son repented, I'm sure it would have happened the same way. It would have been bypassed. So that's the power. It covers the sins of the past. If a sinner repents, there's great joy in heaven. Another example, 2 Chronicles chapter 33. This is about Manasseh. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. So if Ahab was considered the worst, the most evil king of the northern tribes of Israel, then Manasseh is considered the most evil of Judah, king of Judah. And he's referred to often about the blood that flowed, the innocent blood that flowed the street down the streets of Jerusalem, because he did such horrible things in his long reign. So 2 Chronicles chapter 33, and it says in verse 1, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. But did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Just down to verse 9. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err, and to do worse than the heathen, whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. He kept ignoring the prophets. Verse 11, wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem, into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Now after this, he built a wall without the city of David, on the west side of Gihon, in the valley, even to the entering in at the fish gate, and compassed about Ophel, and raised it up a very great height, and put captains of war in all the fenced cities of Judah. And he took away the strange gods and the idol out of the house of the Lord and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem and cast them out of the city. And he repaired the altar of the Lord and sacrificed thereon peace offerings and thank offerings and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. So this, again, Manasseh needed to go to a far lower point than Ahab did. He was taken by the king of Assyria. He was taken to Babylon. He was afflicted. He was among thorns. I guess he was treated really badly. And then he was humbled to this point where he repented. He realized what he'd done was wrong. The Lord heard it. There was joy in heaven. He heard it and reinstated Manasseh as king. And then he went about to repair the stuff that he did. I mean, it lists some pretty bad stuff here. It says that the idol out of the house of the Lord. I mean, that's the temple. That's the temple in Jerusalem that Solomon built. He decided to change it completely and put up an altar there instead of the altar to God. He built other altars in the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. And he'd done all these things to make all of Judah follow other ways. He led them into their destruction, so to speak, as it says elsewhere in the scriptures. But when he repented, the Lord hearkened unto it. And it's just a fantastic thing. And we see that when people, in the baptism tank, we ask those questions. They believe Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe he'll fill you with the Holy Spirit? Do you believe he'll fill you, give you a new life? Yes, yes, yes. There's great joy with us as well when we see that. And when we read examples of Ahab and Manasseh, that is how powerful it is. The God of the Old Testament is the same God today. And so if he's listening to the repentance of these two characters, he's listening to the repentance today, and where he can blot out the sins, as it says in Acts chapter 3 there. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins will be blotted out. No more seen by God. Back to chapter 7, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. How do I introduce this? So this is about King Solomon, who'd built this temple, and he'd said a prayer to the Lord, and the Lord answered. And here in verse 12, 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 12, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land." How far am I going? 16, yep. "Now mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually." So great promises. Now today he has made us his house, right? His Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God, dwells in us. Our body is now this temple. And that great promise there that his eyes and his heart shall be there perpetually. So he'll never leave us or forsake us. We have the power to turn from him, but he'll never leave us. It'll always be with us. But if things happen, you know, that if heaven is shut up and there be no rain, there be no goodness that pour out from heaven anymore, then we repent and look back to him. You know, he will hearken unto it. It says, if shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then he'll hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. He'll then open up the windows of heaven that the blessings may then pour back out again. So again, he's blotted out the sin of the past. You know, just wonderful things. He's just so wants to forgive. The Lord so wants to forgive and heal and deliver. He wants to open up the windows of heaven in our lives. We just have to let him do it, you know, and in all humility. And we heard the testimonies there of people turning to God, you know, turning to God in all humility and knowing that he has a way of answering our prayer. Because his eyes and his heart are with us perpetually. He sees us as individuals, you know, and he wants to be a major part of our life, number one in our life, because he has chosen us and he's sanctified this house. So this leads on to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3, just one verse here. And down in verse 10, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it." So that thing about the Lord saying here, if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, that there be no blessing. Rain is a great blessing. You know, it brings life. I mean, I've joked around. I don't like it because things get wet. But things grow, you know, like trees grow, fruit grows, and so then we get food. It's a fantastic flow and effect. You know, if the Lord shut up the blessings in our life, you know, but we turn back, it says here, bring you all your tithes, all what you do for the Lord. Make him number one, you know. Not thinking about what you're losing, but it says here, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. You know, like you're putting him first. You're not considering, oh no, I'm giving up all this time and I'm giving up all this stuff for the Lord, but it says prove him, like in a way, putting to the test. You know, like you put him number one and see what he does. You know, the Lord's kind of challenging us in a way, you know, and see if he will not open the windows of heaven. That, okay, let's roll back the windows of heaven and let it pour out. And then we can just, and I've had instances like this where I've just stood there stunned. Like, my goodness, look at what the Lord's done. Wow. All I had to do was put him first. And just amazing blessing. It says there, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. It just flows and flows and flows and flows. It's just amazing. If we have that attitude of relying on him, which is an attitude of repentance, you know, relying on him and not our own strength. It's hard. Don't get me wrong. It's hard. Because we see with our natural eyes, we think with our natural mind, we hear with our natural ears, and it's easy to rely on our own strength. But when we look to him, the windows of heaven then can be opened up. Luke chapter 18. It all just adds to the power of repentance. Luke chapter 18. I've read this recently, but it's a great example. And down in verse 9, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, you know, they relied in their own strength, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You know, that lifted up. And that's the wonderful thing. You know, this repentance, humility, relying on God, putting him number one, there's this great promise that you will be lifted up. You will be exalted. We just got to let God do it for us, not ourselves. As that Pharisee was, he was puffing himself up. But that was all in his own strength. But if we're like this publican, realizing, yes, in our own strength or in our flesh, we do so many things wrong, then we realize we are weak before the Lord and we rely on him to lift us up, which will be far greater. And there is great joy in heaven. The angels rejoice when they see this in a people, because they're humble before the Lord, before the living God who created everything we see, before the God who saw us, acknowledged us, and filled us with the Holy Spirit. There is great joy that there are these people that want to follow his ways and put him first. 2 Peter chapter 3, and because of that great joy, God can't help but exalt. You know, he just has this compassion and just love for a people that have this mindset of repentance and humility. He just graciously wants to exalt us. And that's why testimonies are just so important, so wonderful. 2 Peter chapter 3. You know, they're examples of the Lord hearkening unto our humble voice. I mean, what is our voice? You know, to God, you know, and what are we to God? But he has heard us. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, we all yearn for the Lord to come back. We want the Lord to come back. But here, the Lord actually wants all to come to repentance. You know, the Lord wants all people to turn to him. This is, like, if you can imagine the Lord, like, he sees a sinner repenting of his ways. And there's this joy. The angels are singing with great joy before God. So it brings him so much joy when a sinner repents. Of course he wants everyone to repent and come to repentance and turn to his way, because then there's more and more joy. He's long-suffering to usward. You know, that he doesn't want us to perish. He doesn't want people to perish. There's no joy there for the Lord seeing people perish. There is joy to the Lord seeing people repent. Okay? And so that's why he is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering. And I've said it a few times, where there's life, there's hope. And that's what the Lord sees. He says, where there's life, there's hope. You know, it's not up to us to decide, you know, who's worthy of repentance, who's not, or worthy of grace and who's not. It's up to the Lord. And that's where he gets that great joy. He gets to show how benevolent he is and his goodness. He gets to open up the windows of heaven in another person's life. And it's just wonderful to see. Okay, last scripture. Back to Acts chapter 2. I want to read this again. Implanted in first and the last. Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know, those people that the Lord's looking for are those that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, those that are pricked in their heart, you know, pricked in their heart, realizing that I've got to change my ways. If I want to be right with God, I've got to change my ways. Okay, pricked in their heart. They then repent, get baptized by full immersion in all obedience to God, and pray for the Holy Spirit, and he will grant them that Holy Spirit. And so that's what we're here for, to go about his business, looking for the lost sheep, that lost silver coin. And then there's great joy in heaven when one sinner repents. All the angels are praising God. He is praising God. God himself has great joy, you know, being able to open the windows of heaven on another person's life. Okay, thank you.